hole. Okay. All right. Let's then, as we turn once again to the book of Numbers, Numbers in the Old Testament, as we read. Numbers chapter 12. We're reading 10 verses. We'll read it responsively. I'll do verse 1 of chapter 12. And then you read verse 2 all the way until we finish at verse number 10. Okay? Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. I'll start and then you read verse 2 and so on. Ready? Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. I'll read. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Verse 2. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Verse 4. Verse 5, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth.
And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream.
Verse 7, My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Verse 8. Verse 9, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Verse 10. Amen. Let's pray. Father, speak to us in your word as we prepare our hearts to understand what is a servant in your sight and what are the characteristics you look for. And we'll thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please be seated. In Numbers chapter 12, we've just read about God calling Moses a servant. Now, there are 28 references, alright, as I was searching the Bible. There are 28 references to this phrase called servant of the Lord or servant of God in the specific exact phrase. There are 28 phrases or references to this phrase, servant of the Lord or servant of God. It refers to a few people. Few people in the Bible were given that name. Paul was given one time in Romans chapter 1 verse 1, Joshua 2 times, David 2 times. And then, guess who? The pastor was called one time in 1 Timothy chapter 2. You know, the interesting thing about the 28 references to the servant of the Lord or the servant of God was, of the 28 times it was mentioned in the Bible, God refers 21 times to Moses. And God called Moses the servant of God or the servant of the Lord. Moses in the Bible is in our example of what it means to be a servant of the Lord. In the passage we've read in Numbers chapter 12 verse 1, I'll just go through it so that at least we have a context. And then I'll drop three characteristics that God wants to see in the servant that he calls. In verse number 1, Numbers chapter 12, and Miriam and Aaron speak against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Aaron and Miriam, they were siblings of Moses. Moses was their younger brother. Now apparently, Aaron and Miriam, from this verse, spoke against Moses because of some personal issue that they had with Moses. And what was the issue? Because of the Ethiopian woman. Now, one of the reasons that Miriam was probably a little bit jealous, if you look at Numbers chapter 11, that was when the calling of the 70 elders of Israel, alright? Moses was encouraged to call 70 elders to help him with the running of the children of Israel. And apparently within that, Moses did not consult Miriam and Aaron. Okay? So, what happened was, Miriam actually said, because Miriam became to be jealous because she, being the prophetess of the nation of Israel, was not consulted. Alright, there's some speculation. Because in verse number 2 of Numbers chapter 12 verse 2, and they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken by us? It's like they're saying, look, Moses, what makes you think you're the only one that can speak or God speaks to? What about us? You know, Miriam was the prophetess of the nation of Israel and probably the chief of the ladies. Aaron was a high priest. And so these two are siblings of Moses. Moses, of course, was the leader. Of course, these two felt that, hey, we are also part of the leadership. Why don't you consult us, you know? Why just consult this woman that you've married? Apparently, there was some jealousy going on there. Now, remember, God said, when Moses, you bring the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, you are not to intermarry with them. Remember, God said that? You are not to have any marriage with them. Now, where is Ethiopia? Is it in Israel? Ethiopia is not in Israel. Is it in Africa? So, which means Moses actually didn't do anything wrong. Does it make sense? Moses didn't do anything wrong. Because God says, when you go into the land, you are not to intermarry with the people of the land. And so, for Moses, he wasn't doing anything wrong. But Miriam took offense and took issue with Moses. Basically, in verse 2, what he did was they undermined the spiritual leadership of Moses at that time. Now, in verse number 3, as we go on, now the man Moses was very meek. God said that above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. And from verse 4 onwards, you begin to realize God, one key verse in verse number 2. Was very interesting. They said, had the Lord spoken indeed only by Moses, and had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now I believe the Holy Spirit put it there to remind us that when we undermine the authority that God has put, God hears. In fact, God heard it to the point that he actually called a conference of these three people. Alright, that's what happened in verse number 4. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. God personally handled this offense. God personally handled this offense. You know, as pastor, one of the things I've learned, the servant of the Lord must not strive. You know, there are many things that people have said about the pastorate, the pastor, myself. But you know, I've learned, be like Moses. You realize there were two times there was rebellion against the leadership of Moses. This is one time. Another time, remember Korah and the brethren rebelled against the leadership of Moses as well. 250 brethren. What? You think God only speak through you, Moses? Huh? God can speak through us too. And what makes you think that you are the leader that is chosen? And so Moses said, fine. You all come out to the open space. I'm just kind of paraphrasing this. If you would just die the natural death, then God has not spoken by us. But if the ground open up and swallow you up, then you know that God has chosen me. And guess what happened immediately after Moses said that? What? There was an earthquake. Ground opened up. The Korah and his brethren were destroyed immediately at that point. Proving that God stood up for his own servant. Okay? Now, as we go on, in verse number 5, or verse number 6, and he said, God was the one who said this. From this passage, we see that our Heavenly Father was very angry about what's happening in the passage. Right? After he heard what Miriam and Aaron said about Moses, God said, okay, come, all kinds. You wait for me at the tabernacle, kind of like you wait for me in the back alley. Want to kind of have it out with them. And God says, you three, come here. And God actually singled out Miriam and Aaron. He says, you two, come here. And notice what God said in verse 5, or verse 6. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. For he is faithful in all my house. Verse 8, with him will I speak mouth to mouth. Even apparently not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. In this passage, we see for once God distinguish the prophet from the servant. God said, if there is a prophet in Israel, this is how I will speak to them, in visions and in dreams, not with my servant Moses. I will speak to him directly. Now, if the word of God is true, you realize that God actually have two different camps for prophets and for servants. And that is a very important thing. You know, I may be preaching the word, but there may be people serving in the congregation. God speaks more to them than me. Does that make sense? And so God makes it clear to them. In the end, in verse 8, in Singapore language, basically God is saying, how dare you speak against my servant whom I have put up on a higher plane. Does it make sense? God saw in Moses some characteristics worthy of him defending his servant. And that's one thing I want us to learn. Remember, Aaron and Miriam were also God called, right? They were serving Jehovah God as well. But God took issue with his own prophetess and the high priest for what they did with Moses, the servant of God. And it's interesting to guess who was the one who was the initiator of this problem. Was it Aaron? Or was it Miriam? If you look at verse 10, you find God punished one person. Who was that? Miriam became leprous. And Aaron was... If you realize Aaron, the man in the Bible, is always... he was a spiritual leader without spiritual backbone. Remember Exodus 32? When Moses went up to Mount Sinai to collect the Ten Commandments from God. And the children of Israel were getting bored, basically. They were not doing anything for God. Huh? Christians, a lesson in that. When we are not doing anything for God, we will seek out other inventions. And so what happened was, Aaron, make us gods. Make us gods like the ones in Egypt, you know. As for this Moses, Exodus 32 tells us, we don't know what's happened to him. What did Aaron do? Okay, then we'll bring all your jewelry, you know, and I'll make a calf. And so he made a golden calf, right? And Aaron made a golden calf. You know what he said when Moses actually came down and said, Aaron, what is this that you've done? The people pressured me, alright? That's Singapore paraphrase. And I just kind of followed. You realize Aaron, although he was the elder brother and the spiritual high priest of Israel, he doesn't have a spiritual backbone. In other words, he will go with the flow. God had to deal with Miriam because she is the initiator. And Aaron was shaking because he will be next. But you know, coming back just to this passage, can I apply this to us? God saw in Moses some characteristics that is worthy of defending as his servant. God wants, listen Christians, God wants us as his people, as his servants, to be people of character. He wants us to be people of character. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2, moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In Matthew 25 verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over many things, a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. No, character is something today that is oftentimes overlooked. A person is kept because he claims that he's able to do the job. You know, I was just rehearsing in my mind this morning and last night. You know, when you go to these political parties, you know, and one of the parties apparently has certain agenda they want to push. And they say, well, whatever he does for Singapore, it's okay. His private life is his private life. It's nothing to do with whatever he can achieve for Singapore. No, this is what the world, we have been hooked wing. We have been deceived to say, well, whatever he can contribute, that's what we're looking for. Whatever he does in his private life, that's his business. Not with God. Not with God. Did you know that? Because God will judge us both privately and publicly. And then it's something, you know, we've been, some people will speak for their political parties and things like this. But you know what? It's about time that people will seek out for God. Christians, we must be clear when we are servants of God, what we do for God outwardly and who we are inwardly is important to God. Because at the day of judgment, our works will be judged. But in 1 Corinthians 4:5, God says the secret counsels of the heart will be brought out as well. Because God is not interested in outward works with a heart that has other beliefs and other agendas. Does that make sense? Yeah, there's a political party in Singapore that apparently has certain gay agenda. Okay, as Christians, I'm not here to kind of have a rally, alright? But I just want us as Christians, remember as you vote, don't just focus on the bread and butter issues, because man shall not live by bread alone. You jolly well be sure that you live by what God says first. And as we pray for our leaders, as we would poll, remember, God is the one who will decide who will lead the country. And whatever God decides based on the vote, we just say, God, if that's your will, help me to live under that as much as I can, that I will obey you rather than man. And whatever the laws they give, I will follow to the best of our ability. You know, the political rallies that... You know what I think? Creating discontent. And as Christians, we must be very clear. We must be very clear what God wants us to put. Now, coming back to this, character is something. Do you realize what's the very first thing that God requires us to work on the moment we become a Christian? Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. What is the first thing that God requires of us to work on, the first thing, when we become a Christian? In 2 Peter 1 verse 5, let's read together, alright? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Ready? 1, 2, begin. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Okay, what's the first thing that God says to add to your faith? Virtue. What's virtue? Character. God wants us to add character as He assists us in that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you can improve yourself. You can't. Without God's help, you can never improve yourself. You need the Lord Jesus Christ to help you deep inside. I'll give you three characteristics that God saw in Moses that saw him worthy to defend as a servant of God. Number one, God saw that Moses was faithful. God saw that Moses was faithful. In Numbers chapter 12 and verse 6, so verse 7, my servant Moses is not so, who is what? Faithful in all my house. The Bible says that Moses was faithful in all of God's house. The word faithful means, and listen, you can jot down as you want, it means to build up or support. It means trustworthiness. It means something that is established. It means something that is firm. It means something that is permanent. It means something that you can trust. Faithful. The word faith means to trust. Full means full. So Moses is full of trust. God says, I can trust Moses because he is full of trust for all the things that I've told him to do. This means that Moses was trustworthy to God over all the affairs that God will give him to govern. Now, I want you to notice Moses' position over the prophets. God spoke to prophets in dreams and visions, but God spoke to Moses directly. Now that's a privilege for God to speak to us directly. You know, God doesn't send emails to us. God speaks directly to us. Just as a dad speaks for those who are working, you know, when you talk to your boss, you don't kind of, hey boss, how are you? You know, kind of put your hand around him. No. But you know, when a child comes, it's a different way of approach. Similarly with God. Now, God deals with the prophets in a certain way, but with the servants, God says, I speak face to face. Notice four things. How Moses was faithful. Number one, he was faithful to the word of God. Let's look at Exodus chapter 25. All right, two passages, very quickly. Exodus 25. And I'll read a few of these, and then you can also turn to 35. Okay, Exodus 25 and 35. I want you to compare. Exodus 25, the Bible says in verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with my heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skin dyed red and badger skin and shittim wood, oil for a light, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Okay? Now look over to Exodus 35. Exodus 35 and verse 5. The Bible says, take ye from among you an offering. This is Moses speaking now. Exodus 25 was God speaking. Exodus 35 is Moses speaking. And notice what he said to the children of Israel. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and rams, skin dyed red, badger skins and shittim wood, all for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. Question, why did I bring out who passages? Do you realize Moses preached word for what God said to the children of Israel? That's significant. Whatever God said, Moses said, this is what God told me to tell you. This is what God told me to tell you. Exactly how God told Moses. Moses brought it to the children of Israel and told him directly, this is what God wants you to do. You know, as Moses did that, you know, he was faithful to the word itself of God. Every single word. Can I say this as a servant of God? We are not at liberty to interpret the Bible the way we think. I have had many people, when I've spoken to them, for example, I'll refer to Revelation chapter 20, where I say, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Okay? And then there are some people who will tell me, hell doesn't mean hell. It means the end of all things. Yeah, look at this person and say, the Bible says hell. So am I going to believe you? Or am I going to believe the Bible? Do you realize there are many people today who try to reinterpret the Bible? Not so with Moses. God says, I want purple. Moses says, God wants purple. God says, I want shittim wood. Moses says, God wants shittim wood. God says, believe and be baptized, every one of you. I, as his servant, has to say, believe and be baptized, every one of you. You know why people do? We need to come to a place whereby with faithfulness to God's word means we preach it the way it is said. Not the way we think. Because human opinions is oftentimes lower than what God says. My thoughts are not your thoughts, God says. As a servant of God, we need to be faithful. Not only faithful in the preaching, but number two, just with the preaching in God's approval, in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, you realize at the end, when Moses had built the tabernacle, guess what happened? They could not have the service. You know why? Look at verse 34, Exodus 40, verse 34. Exodus 40 and verse 34. After all that has happened, after all that is done, in verse 34, as they were trying to have the service to honor the Lord, then the cloud covered the tent, verse 34, of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. You know what that is? God's approval was on the tabernacle. The Shekinah glory, the glory of God itself, came to dwell in that place because Moses was faithful to the word of God, according to what God specified. Did you realize, I was preaching on this, I actually printed out all the instructions that God actually told Moses to do. Do you know, it came out to 6,000 words. A 12-page document that God says, this is how I want you to build the tabernacle. And guess what? Moses fulfilled every single detail of that. You know what does it tell me? There are people today say, oh no, the Bible says this, but it doesn't really mean that. And my question is, what does it mean? If you say hell means the end of all things, I'm sure God understands how to use the word end of all things. But the Bible says hell. Hell means hell. Does it make sense? The Bible doesn't change. As a servant of God, we need to be faithful to the word of God. Number one, not only in preaching, we need to faithful the Lord in obedience. You know, there are many people, when I share with them God's word, and they will say things like this, I know that is what the Bible teach, but a servant of God will not do that. Can I say that again? If we are genuine servants of God from the heart, whatever God says, we will do. Some of you may have had helpers at home before, like maids, right? What if you have a maid that say, can you please sweep the floor? I think your broom not very good. No? I think you should buy the other type one. You know, the type that I don't have to hold one. I just look at it, it will start sweeping. Now, what would you think about that maid? He'll be on the next plane back. Right? And what makes you think that God will listen, tolerate disobedience? Now, I spoke on disobedience on Friday night. We don't realize the severity of disobedience to even one bit. You know, one of the things in Moses' life, Moses' life was almost flawless, except for one thing. What was the one thing he did? Moses, the Bible says he was the meekest man, right? He was the meekest man above all the face of the earth. But at one time, he lost his temper. God says, speak to the rock. What did he do? He struck the rock. What happened? God honored his part, water still came out. But because Moses disobeyed, one act of disobedience in Moses because of your lack of control. I'm going to use you as the example to show the world I will not tolerate disobedience as a servant. And with that, Moses was barred from going into the promised land. Christians, take obedience to God's word seriously. If we call ourselves a servant of God. Because Moses was obedient. And at that point when he wasn't, you know what happened? God said, you are not going to the promised land. Towards the end of his life, he went up to Mount Pisgah. God said, you will look over to the promised land. You will not enter it. You know, as I thought on that, you know how much of God's blessings we missed individually because we disobeyed God in the small things. Christians, we need to be faithful to God in His Word. Number two, we need to be faithful to the work. Or rather, Moses was faithful to the work of God. In Exodus chapter 3, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come upon me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people and the children of Israel of Egypt. God had a job for Moses. Moses, come. I want to send you to Egypt. It's like, me? Go to Egypt? You know what? But in Exodus chapter 4 verse 18, and Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law and said, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt. You know what Moses did? He was not only faithful to the word, he was faithful to the work that God called him to call the people out. Oh yeah, he has lots of excuses and reasons like many of us to serve the Lord. But you know what? Ultimately, he still obeyed God. He still went in and he was faithful. In Luke chapter 9 verse 62, I was actually referring to that verse, not 60. That's my personal call to the ministry. But in 9:62, Jesus said this, which is so convicting. He says, no man, having put his hands on the plow and looked back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. During that time, plowing has to be done in the cold season. If you don't put the seed in before the former rains come in Israel, you miss the whole harvest for the whole year. And so in order to plant, when it's shivering, when it's cold, the children of Israel needs to put the seed in. Jesus says, it's time to plow, and you've started to plow, and very cold, no jacket today. Never mind, I just leave it. God says, you put your hands on the plow, you started the work. And as you look at the cold around you, it's too inconvenient. You back off. Jesus says, that servant literally is not fit. He is not the type of material that heaven consists of. Some people have used that passage to say you can lose your salvation. That's not what the Bible teaches. God is saying, as a servant of God, God is looking for people who said, despite the cold, I'll plow. We need to be faithful to the work. There was one man in Birmingham in England. He was asked to speak at a particular meeting. And it was a stormy night, and generally because it's stormy, very few people will come. And so the person in charge of the meeting was telling this person and say, look, you know, I don't think there will be many people go, but you don't know what this preacher did? He said, no, I'm still going. I'm going there to preach. His name is Hudson Taylor. He said there were less than 6 people that night. But you know what was the outcome? 3 of them became full-time missionaries and the rest supported China Inland Mission for many years to come. Because Hudson Taylor said, God asked me to preach there. I need to be faithful by many or by few. One of the things I hold as principles to my heart, and I teach my children this, you serve God regardless of who does or doesn't do it. The principle that I teach my children is, you serve God. If you don't do it, no one else will. Because He is worthy, and we need to be faithful to what God says as His servant of God. Number 3, he was faithful to the word, the work, and he was faithful despite his fear of Egypt and Pharaoh. Remember, when Moses ran from Pharaoh, he was facing the death penalty for killing someone. And now God says, I want you to go back and face your fears. Now some of us, listen carefully, give an excuse. I can't do it. That's not my cup of tea. I think I can serve here, which is nicer. Telling people of Christ, that's not my cup of tea. I can do it another way. You know what God says? As a servant of God, we must be faithful to God despite our fears. What does it stop you to serve God? What is your fear? Moses had fear. You know, Moses told God, God, I'm not eloquent. Guess who spoke more in the end? Moses spoke more. Oh yeah, Aaron came to support, and God encourages us through people who will come and support us. But you know what Moses' response was? He was a spokesman in the end. We need to be faithful despite our fears. And he was faithful to the word despite his fear. And he is faithful despite inconvenience and difficulties. Let's look at Exodus chapter 14. This is a mighty story. You need to look at that in verse number 2. And the Lord speak in verse 1, the Lord spoke unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, that they may turn and encamp around Pihah Hathroi, and between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, and before he shall encamp by the sea. Moses had brought the children of Israel out, and now they have gone to the Red Sea. In front is the Red Sea. Pharaoh have heard these guys are stuck because they cannot move forward anymore. Because in front is the Red Sea, between them are the mountains. And guess what Pharaoh did? He came from behind. Israel was boxed in. And the children of Israel shouted at Moses. Look at verse number 10, the people's response. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto God and blamed the spiritual leader. That's what they did. Oh God, save us. Moses, it's your fault. Think about that. Isn't oftentimes when there's problems, we pray to God, but we blame everyone else? And that was what happened here. Can you imagine you are a leader of 2 million people who will say, this guy, nail him, you know, that's his fault. He's the one who brought us here. We're going to die at all because of him. I want you to look at Moses' response in verse 13. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. In order for Moses to tell the people to fear ye not, he has to have faith first. Can you imagine amidst a screaming 2 million people and say, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye see today, ye shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you, shall hold your peace. Moses can be faithful despite the inconveniences. Let me ask you, what inconvenience do you have in your life that you cannot serve God? What inconvenience can you not give up for God, the Lord Jesus, who gave up all inconvenience to save you from hell? Think about that. Christians, we need to, by faith, We need to by faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. By faith. We need to trust God. I don't know all that's going to happen, but I know I have to obey you in giving my offering. God, I know I need to be baptized, Lord, but you know there's so many implications. I've learned this from my pastor in Australia. He says, obey God and leave the consequences to Him. And that's what Moses did. God says, you go, and I will be with you. That's all the command God gave Moses. And that's why after he went, he said, God, I went. Pharaoh never listened to me. Never mind, go again. So he went. Faithful. Who won in the end? You know, Moses, every time he hit them, he began to realize, you know, the first time, Pharaoh never listened. God says, go back. Second time, Pharaoh never listened. Third time, do you realize as the time went by, Moses never complained to God anymore? You know why? He's beginning to see God working. He is beginning to see God working. One of the hardest things as pastor, God, grow our church. Not just in numbers, but spiritually. You know, it takes time. But you know, one of the encouragements is that God is doing that. You need to come for a family meeting. I need to share with you what God has laid on my heart and what has been happening. There was this guy, Norman Glacier. There was this little boy who went for VBS. He was invited by some neighborhood children. He went back to the same church for Sunday school classes for 400 Sundays. Each week he was picked up by a bus driver. Week after week he attended church but never made a commitment to Christ. Finally, during his senior year in high school, after being picked up for church the 400 times, he committed his life to Christ. He committed his life after 400 times. What if the bus driver said, we've been picking up this guy for 50 Sundays, he's not doing anything, I think we kind of changed our position. Huh? Norman Glacier committed his life to Christ because the bus driver was at his position for the 400 Sundays. We have children who will grow in Christ because chapel teachers are willing to sit out and teach the children the word. Man of God has been willing to stay in the mission field despite disease, despite death in the family, despite everything that is against them because they love God and God called them to the work and they must be faithful to it. Despite the difficulty, despite the inconveniences, I know in my heart that many of you serve God because even though it's hard for you and my heart breaks, when I see Christians go out of the way, they serve God and say, no, this girl can keep going, you know, as pastor, I say, Lord, let's do something to alleviate that. But you know, there are some people who are not even doing it. We need to be faithful to God's work, Christians. Let me ask you, can God trust you with His work? We need to be faithful. A servant of God is faithful. God says Moses is a faithful servant. I ask this question again. Can God trust you with His work? Now that is a loaded question. I intend that to be. I, of all people, feel the burden for every church member. I have it on my computer, every single name on the church membership list. God, help me with this. Because I need to be faithful. Oh, it's not easy. You need to be faithful. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful as a servant of the Lord. We must be faithful. Number one. Number two, notice God saw that he was meek. He was meek. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are on the face of the earth. The word meek there in the English literally means, in Hebrew, it means to melt. Easily melted. Okay, the word meek comes the Hebrew idea, easily melted. Okay? Meek also means mucus. Melt. I know it's, but that's the Hebrew. It means to melt something that is easily able to. For liquid, you can put it in any container. It will take the shape, right? Science, please remember your PSLE. The characteristics of water takes the form of any liquid, right? Any container. That's meekness. I want you to learn four things about meekness that God wants us to. Number one, it is the only character trait. Do you realize that Jesus asks us to imitate? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That is the only characteristic Jesus says to learn. Of course, we imitate Christ in all areas, but Jesus forcefully tells the people who would follow him, you need, above all, the most treasured possession that any child of God will ever have in the sight of God is to learn the meekness of Christ. And the Bible says Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. You know, Christians, we need to be meek. Number two about meekness. Meekness is not a natural virtue, but one that requires God to bring it out. By nature, men are proud. But the fruit of the Spirit is, Galatians chapter 5, meekness. And one of the reasons why when you present God's word and people resist, they can resist in a nice way, you know. You know, people have often said, when I give them the word, you know what they say? Thank you, Brother Johnny, you've been very kind, but it's okay. To me, it's not okay when you disobey God. Because I know you are going to suffer for it, and I'm going to suffer for it if I disobey God. I tremble every day. God, am I doing this? God, if I'm wrong, you better deal with me, because otherwise, I'm going to have... God, you're going to deal with me. Just like God dealt with Miriam one time, and Miriam was leprous. God had mercy on Miriam. After 7 days, God took it away. It's not a natural virtue. We need God. Dear friends, if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not praying, if you're not serving God, if you're not interested in spiritual things, the spirit of meekness that God can produce will never materialize in your life. Because only God can bring it through. In order to be more like Christ, you need to be more with Him. Does it make sense? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 makes it clear, the more you spend time in God's Word, the Word of God begins to change us from the inside. But how can we change if we don't spend time with God? Number 3 about meekness. Meekness, in the definition of the word, always has the idea of being oppressed. The characteristic of meekness, listen, Christian, can only be produced under pressure. You know, when I read that, I say, God, help me to help Christians who are going through the pressure, because you are trying to get meekness into their lives. You have pressure in your life. I have pressure too. Because God wants to squeeze out meekness from us. Amen. He wants us to become like Jesus. And that's why God puts the pressures on you. That's why God puts the trials on you. Why? Because He wants to squeeze out the meekness. Because meekness can only be produced by pressure. I'll read this. The meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with his own sense of inferiority. Rather, he may be in his moral life as bold as a lion, strong as Samson, but he has stopped being fooled about himself. He has accepted God's estimate of his life. He knows he is weak and helpless as God declared him. But on the other hand, in the sight of God, he is more important than angels. And in him, this is the motto: in myself, nothing. In God, everything. Christians, we need to come to the stage whereby we say, you know, many times, maybe as a beginning of a Christian, I try to remember this, it's very important. All of me, none of God. And then as you grow in your Christian life, you need to move to some of me, some of God. And then as you grow more and more in your Christian life, you need to have less of me, more of God. And then finally, you need to say none of me, and all of God. Because only when we come to that stage that God can squeeze out that meekness from us. The fourth point about meekness. Meekness is manifested in our unwillingness to retaliate and our willingness to submit to the Lord's will in every situation. You know, it's so easy to always retaliate. You cannot do this to me, you know. That's wrong, you know. Maybe it's at a workplace or, you know, you're always like that one, eh. You know what meekness is? The willingness not to retaliate and submit to God. Some of you are smiling, you know what I mean, right? God wants us to develop that meekness. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of his soul. Verse 7, he was oppressed. Jesus was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. You know, I've learned one thing. When people punch you on the right hand, whether verbally, you know what you do? Let him have the other one. As a servant of God, we are not to strive. When we have learned that principle, no matter what you do in your spiritual service for God, whether it's cleaning the church, whether it's winning souls for Christ, whether it's managing a ministry, and people will point fingers at you, you know what you do? God, you take control. I will just be faithful what I need to do. Every time I've seen God dealt with that person. Because meekness means no retaliation. Trusting God. You mean I just let the person do one to me all the time? He's been doing to me for the last 16,000 times. Well, how many times are you supposed to forgive him? 2-7 times only? Huh? No, 70 times? 7. Now, don't go and count until 490. The idea Jesus gives there is that you need to forgive until you lose count. But you know what, Christians, sometimes sadly we do keep score, don't we? You know, after a while, you're not keeping score anymore. You're just wanting to do one back every time. You know why God, you know why Jesus wants us to forgive from the inside? You know why Jesus wants meekness to come out? Because He knows it's terrible for our soul. Have you ever been around people who cannot forgive? Everything is your fault. Just trying to wake people up here. Huh? Everything is your problem. Isn't it true? But you know what? When Jesus says, I need you to forgive, he says, yes, Lord. God is painful, but if you can forgive me, God, why can't I forgive him? Amen? Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven us. Is there something that you cannot forgive? And look at Christ. We need to be meek. Jonathan Edwards was a famous man of God. When he was a pastor, one of the things that happened was he was accused wrongly by his uncle for taking money from the church. And he was indicted and he was kicked out of the church. Jonathan Edwards, if you know, he had many children. You know what he did? He didn't retaliate. He couldn't find another pastorate during that time. You know, he went to the Indians. But as a result of going to the Indians, he had very little support. His children, I think one or two of his children died, went through hardships. 25 years later, the uncle came back and confessed that he was wrong. Jonathan Edwards suffered 25 years in silence. If you know the life of Jonathan Edwards, he's one of the most powerful preachers God produced in America. How some of you may have read his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. How God used him to change the entire city, the entire town. You know what? He had meekness just like his Savior. As a servant of God, we must be meek. Number three, and we're finished. Finally, God saw he was faithful, he's meek. And number three, God saw that he was a servant. The word servant means a bondman. Someone. Paul was a servant. In Romans chapter 1 verse 1, a servant of Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, it's called doulos. Slavery, slaves were in the Hebrew economy during that time. If you couldn't pay back something, you basically saw yourself as a slave. Remember the rich man who couldn't pay back the rich ruler? And you, okay, let all that you have be sold, including your family and everything, to pay back the price. Of course, he spent back for mercy and God freed him from that. So slave was something that was happening during that time. But there's another different type of slave. Let's turn to Exodus 21. Exodus 21. We call it the bond servant. Exodus 21, And verse number 6. Sorry, verse number 2. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. His master shall have given him a wife, and she had borne him sons or daughters. The wife and the children shall be masters, and he shall go out by himself. Basically, every Hebrew servant, freedom is so important to God that every slave must be freed in the seventh year. That's what basically God is saying. You can have a Hebrew slave for 6 years, at the seventh year, you must free him. That is God's rule. There is one exception. Look at verse 6. Verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, he shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. No, I'm sure you know what this means. I will be a slave for 6 years. At the seventh year, I say, no, my master is really good, and you know, this master, every time he gives me pork chops for my lunch. And I do my work well, you know, but he really takes care of me. He even gave me an air-conditioned room, you know, to sleep in. He took care of me, but he doesn't scold me. He just kind of gently encouraged me. And, you know, I tell you what, I'm going to serve him for the rest of my life. You know what God says? The servant serves God, serves him because of love. And say, if you have chosen to be that kind of servant, then I want you to do one thing. Take this servant. You will take an awl. An awl is basically a sharp object, like a cheese or something sharp, okay? Put his ear there. Put the sharp object. Some of you ladies already have them, right? They're called ear piercing. During those times, there is no anesthesia, and they don't use the, are you okay? Are you okay? No gentle approach. All. That is an indication that you belong to that master. Many of us serve God for 6 years. A genuine servant must reach the point of the seventh year that say, I love my master. You know the process of putting, you know why God put that process in there? You really love me, you prove it. There's pain involved. It means that when you serve God, there is sacrifice involved. You serve God for 6 years. Have you come to the seventh and say, I love my Savior? And God, even if it means this one to the door, even if it means a sharp object going through my ears, so be it. I love Him more than this pain here. He's a servant. The Bible says, this is what Paul says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. You know, I have this, if you read in your thought for the week, I wrote this, if our love for Christ is not enough to help us overcome our inconveniences and difficulties and fears to serve Christ, then our love for Christ is just not enough. I say that again. If our love for Christ is not enough to overcome our inconveniences and difficulties and fears to serve Christ, then our love for Christ is just not enough. I don't say this to bishops. Can I encourage you? You know, there are many people, I know that all of us, the fact that I could give up apples to everyone. Can I just make a clarification? I had no idea he was going to give me the watermelon. Okay? It's not symbolic of anything, it's just for fun. Right? But you know, how I wish. I am what I am by the grace of God. I can't do this myself. I hope you understand that. I'm in this ministry not because of me. You know my past life, my wife. I don't deserve to serve God. But if He has changed my life to that point whereby He is willing to die for me and then give me an entire ministry like Paul, I say, I am what I am by God's grace. So were you. Can I encourage you? Yes, we have weaknesses. Yes, we have difficulties in our life. But there's nothing God cannot overcome in your life if you just say, God, I love you after the 6 years of serving you, God. I love you and I'm willing. God, it's painful. I'll go through it for you. And God, you know what God does? He goes through it with you. Amen. God serves together with you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's what Jesus said. In conclusion, what is your character before the Lord? Are we faithful? Moses was faithful, that's what God said. Are we meek? Are we willing to go under pressure and let God squeeze out that meekness in our lives? That we will not strive? Are we a servant? Remember, you cannot do it yourself. It requires full surrender to Christ. You know that my example is the Lord Jesus Christ. For even though He was God, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and made Himself of no reputation, and was obedient unto death, even death on the cross. In Philippians chapter 2, do you know what? Wherefore God had highly exalted Him, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father, that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can I say this? You may be humiliated in this life, you'll be exalted with God. Amen. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. I'd rather do the littlest thing in God's house, even though how difficult it will be, and to hear say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Christians, are you serving? I challenge you, some of you are sitting here, take the step of faith to serve, do something for God. Some of you may need to be baptized, take the step of faith. Is not Jesus worth it? And I'm talking about some sentimental thing. Jesus has loved you. Love to Christ is a decision in your heart. You need to decide to love Him, because the word agape is a conscious choice. God chose to love us. Did you know that? We have nothing good in us that God should love us, but yet God did. He chose to love us. I'll finish off with our pin verse for the month. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all of your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you. If you are here today, you are not a Christian. You need to remember, Jesus has died for you, even though you have never received Him. Did you know that? And He has paid the price, and all He says is, whosoever will may come. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time of learning from your servant Moses. God, we're going to be singing the song, Faithful. May the Lord find us faithful. But God, in the midst of all that, I pray that you give us a servant's heart. God, it's my prayer as pastor that Ambassador will be a servant church. Strip us, Lord, of every indication of pride, of self-importance. Strip us of everything that is hateful in your sight, because you said in your word, God will resist the proud. But God, you will give grace to the humble, to the meek, to those that melt under the fire of your word. Lord, work in our hearts. With eyes closed, heads bowed, let me just ask you a question, just very quickly. Has God spoken to you about servanthood? What is your character like? Is it in line with what God has said in His Word? If God has spoken to you and said, Brother Johnny, pray for me, that God will make me faithful, meek, and His servant, would you just put up your right hand? I'll pray for you that God will strengthen that resolve in your life. Is there anyone? Just put up. Amen, I see the hand. That hand too, amen. I see hands all over. Amen. Just put it up and put it down and pray in your hearts, God, make me faithful. God, make me meek. Yes, I can see that hand too. God, help me to stand under pressure that you may squeeze out the meekness in my life. Is there anyone else? Just going to pray for you. I can't do much. Amen. That hand too. I'm a man just like you. By the grace of God, we can be what God wants us to be, but we need to submit to Christ. Is there anyone else? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. If you're here today and say, Brother Johnny, I don't care what Jesus said. I just want to live my own life. God says He will resist you. In other words, basically you are hardening your own hearts against God. But you know, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Brother Johnny, if I die right now, I'm not too sure where I'm going to go. Can someone help me with that? If that is your testimony, just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Now get a brother to help a man and a sister to help a lady. To share with you God's word about how you can come clean with God. Is there anyone like that? I'm not sure. If I die right now, I'll be in heaven. Alright, just ask one more question. I believe God wants me to ask this. If you're here today, you're not baptized. You're saved. You know you're saved. You know you're a Christian. But you're choosing not to be baptized. My question is why? Have you not served Christ for 6 years in the seventh year? Have you not decided that our Master is worth loving? You say, Brother Johnny, I need to obey God. You say, Brother Johnny, pray for me as I make this decision. Is there anyone like that? Brother Johnny, I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian. But I need to be baptized because I want to be obedient to God. Is there anyone? Just put up your right hand. Amen. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? I need to be obedient to God. God is moving in the people's hearts. You don't have to look around. It's just between you and God. Is there anyone else? Just put it up and put it down. And pray in your hearts. Is there anyone else? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, I ask you to strengthen the resolve in our hearts to be faithful by your grace, to be meek by your grace, and to be a servant for Christ. Father, I pray for that hand that says he wants to be baptized. I ask your Holy Spirit to do something, Lord, in that person's life, that they may realize the seriousness of sin, the need of a Savior, and then, Lord, why he needs to be baptized. I pray for every Christian who has put up their hands because, God, you have spoken to them. I ask, Lord, you will strengthen their resolve to love you, to strengthen their resolve to serve you because, regardless of the pain, regardless of the sacrifice, regardless, Lord, of the inconveniences, because, God, you went through all of that for us, that you might save us and give us an example that we should follow your steps. Lord, help Ambassador, every individual, Lord, to be a servant member. And I pray for visitors who are in our midst that, God, you have touched. And I pray that you will use even this to strengthen their resolve to commit themselves to you without compromise. God, thank you for all that you've done for us and what you're going to do through Ambassador. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing. Middle of fast favor, I know we're a bit late.